call the meetings of Wednesday, March 19th, 2014 of the Willis Plan Commission to order. Shirley, can you lead us in the pledge, please?
Stand. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please, Karen.
Tammy will do the chorus.
Oh, I'm sorry. Roll call, please, Tammy.
Commissioner Carr. Commissioner White.
Here.
Commissioner Dinningfield.
Present.
Commissioner Woods.
Present.
Chairperson Moore.
Here. Okay, agenda review. Do we have any changes by commissioners or staff?
Staff has no changes to the agenda.
Commission?
No.
Okay, seeing no changes, we'll move on. Approval of the minutes for December 4th, 2013 and January 15th, 2014. Are there any errors or omissions or corrections that we need to? No one has anything?
No. I move that we accept or adopt or.
Accept.
Accept.
Do I have a second?
I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, the minutes will stand as they are. Okay, public comment. Persons wishing to speak on a matter not on the agenda may be heard at this time. However, no action will be taken unless placed on a future agenda. Public comments are generally restricted to 3 minutes. Do we have anyone that wants to bring up anything that is not on the agenda tonight? Seeing none, we'll move on. New business, public hearing, use permit, design review application, applicant owner McHale Signs, Willis Travel Plaza. Accessors parcel number 017-340-025, 1481 Highway 99 West, Highway Commercial Zoning District, Highway Commercial Land Use Designation, request for additional signage and request for design element approval. You want to take it over, Karen?
Yes, thank you. Commissioners and Chairperson Warren. Before you this evening is a conditional use permit design review. This is going to be a change to an existing fuel station at the south end of town. The 76 is going to be changing to the Chevron brand. And they have submitted applications for a conditional use permit. And a conditional use permit is for to allow request to allow additional signage for this brand change. And to break it out, it's approximately 64.17 square feet of additional identity signage and 96 square feet of pole signage. Additionally, there's a design review for this project, which will include changing the fuel station design look from the 76 to the Chevron. And as I say, with this brand change, they do want to install some signage, which is above what the code allows for this building and for this lot, and which will allow the commission to hear this. The zoning for this property is highway commercial, so this is an existing commercial use that's there. They're just changing from one brand to another. Now, there's a little bit of background on this property. It was part of a lot split that was in the early 2003 timeframe. And in August of 2003, the owner at that time of the property, which was Soth Farming Corporation, they went before the Planning Commission in order to request, at that time, a design review application and variance for business signage for the proposed Willis Travel development at that time. And the request was to allow for additional pole height sign pole heights, which at that time was only allowing 30 feet. They wanted to go 80, and then allow for additional business signage. And the commission did approve both of those applications with some conditions, and I've provided to you the meeting minutes to that meeting of August 6, 2003, which spelled out the commission's approval. So first they, as you maybe you will see on the chart that I have on page 2 of my staff report agenda, there are a number of incidental and identity signings that were allowed over and above at the time So that's why they got the variance at that time. So this new change is going to ask for additional signage beyond what that signage was allowed at that time. And I guess one of the main things is they're going to change the brand name on all the dispensers and all the signage, but then there's going to be a couple of changes for the building signage as well. I think three of the signs are going to stay the same, but they're taking down one of the Willow's Travel Plaza signs and just putting up a Food Mart sign. The owner has also indicated that there may be, in the future, there's an empty suite in there, that there may be an additional type of use that may go in there. They will be required to come to the planning department for approval of their signage on that building. In this case, what Ridge Lake probably could have been done to help is to give this this building a sign program, knowing that there were going to be different businesses in there, but we're not at that stage now, so we're just dealing with a use permit request. So I know that you have, some of the commissioners here have been involved in the previous applications that I brought before you that were for additional signage as well. And so I went back into the files to see what was allowed for those. And I have some apples and I have some oranges. So the apples I have are two other stations have requested additional signage. And in May of 2007, the existing Chevron station, which is on Wood Street, asked for an additional 48.04 square feet of signage, which was approved. And then in January of 2012, ARCO came before you and they were allowed additional 33.81 square feet of signage beyond what the code allows. And then the oranges part of the equation is there are three other businesses that have come before you with conditional use permits for additional signage. Taco Bell came before you in February of 2011. They were approved for 19.27 square feet of additional signage. KFC came before you in April of 2008, and they were allowed 175.18 square feet of signage.
Over?
And over what was allowed, 175.18. And then in February of 2009, the Holiday Inn came before you and they were approved for 169.5 additional square feet of signage. So those five examples of going over the sign limit, sign code, have been before you. And the sign code does allow for signage to go beyond the sign code with a use permit approval. So that's what's before you this evening is to request the additional signage for this rebranding. And then additionally, they have a design review application, which the color scheme and the styles that are proposed are in keeping with the Chevron brand name, as the colors and the signage, you know, are the corporate branding for Chevron. They don't intend to do any surface changes or anything. This is just a signage program that is come before you. And with that, there's pretty much my staff report. This is a categorical exemption project because it has accessory structures under section 15.311 allows for a class one categorical exemption. And what is it that was? The only other thing I wanted to note was that the fire department had commented about additional, or the code requires that monument signs have the addressing on. The proposal is to have the addressing on the pricing sign, but located at the bottom. That will need to be changed in order to provide a better view of the letters, not at the very bottom, and they have to be reflective and also to meet with the fire department. So I put in some language, a little extensive language, but it's taken from the code in talking about premise identification. In going out to the site today, I noticed that there's only one address, 1481, which is along Tehama Street, and it's about this big. So there, that will have to be modified and probably add some more sign number, maybe on the 57, Road 57 sign, and maybe a little bit larger. Fire department feels that they might have to make it illuminated, but I don't know if they have to do that, because the code does say that only those buildings constructed after 2008 are required to do that. So they'll just have to meet with the fire department's approval on those addressing portions of it. So
that won't be considered part of their signage, though?
Correct, yes. And then as far as part of the plans that they would submit, we will look for that when they send in the final plans. So with that, it concludes my report. If you commissioners have any questions of me, I do believe that the station owner is here this evening as well. So if you have any questions of the applicant.
Okay, do we have any questions from the public on this?
Do you have any questions for me first?
Oh, no, I don't have any questions.
I do.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I have a question.
Sorry.
It's probably in here and I just couldn't find it. How much over was the original request for the 76 station?
That's not in a minute.
See if I actually calculated that. I don't want to say that how much exactly it went over, because it was, the codes were a little bit different. From what I can kind of surmise, the pole sign went over approximately about 80 square feet over than what was allowed of the code at the time. And from what I can tell about the signage, I would say they probably were over at least up into the 100 mark additional signage. Because of the fact that the code says that it's the linear frontage, they front Tehama, and that is a narrow side. If I even would have taken in both sides, they still would have been over. If I'd have taken in the Tehama and Road 57 side, they still would have been over the amount allotted. They were over the amount in the very beginning,
right.
And now they're going over beyond
additional.
That again. Yes.
And the other two stations that have asked for additional, one was like under 50, 48,
correct.
You said, and the other one was 30,
correct.
Under 34.
Correct.
Over.
Yes, over what they were allotted. It could very well have been if a building was longer, and
right.
So they were given more in that respect, so they were allowed more. That's kind of...
Right, and I realize that. That's why I was just...
Yeah.
But I just was... Thank you.
Okay.
Any other questions from commission? Okay, do we have any members of the public that would like to speak? Anyone from Chevron would like to come up and address us? Okay, commissioners, what do you want to do?
Do we need to open a public hearing?
No. We're not doing a public hearing on this, are we?
Yes, this is
we are.
This is a use permit.
Okay, so
yes,
we need
this
to
is
open
a use permit. Yeah.
Public hearing. So do we have anyone that wishes to speak? Seeing none, we'll close the public hearing. Commissioners?
You want me to go first?
Yes, please.
I just, we have discussed in the past, this commission has, because you're required to have a use, conditional use permit to come back to ask for additional signage. We had considered in that area, the commercial, the highway commercial, that we would come up with something, evaluate it, and come up with a number so people could know that they could just go, you know, you could go 20% or 40% or whatever we intended to have, you know, be a fair thing, so people didn't have to continually come back to the Planning Commission. And so I just have a issue with this business was already over originally, and I just worry about having it be so far over that we would never really be able to have that number or have any kind of control over that. I just have a concern about that. seems like that might be unfair to the other stations if they have, you know, 200 square feet more than what everybody else has. Even with their going over, it's been under 50 feet, and they started over 100 feet over in the original. Application, so I have a concern about that.
I do agree that that area, when I say that area, this is all of these that I have mentioned, these five, are all within the highway commercial zoning district. And my feeling is that because those types of uses are going to require that more signage than a normal business because of the type of business they are and the location, they want to have more because of the freeway, that, as you were mentioning, Commissioner Woods, that we should look at setting a threshold, giving them an allotment, but maybe setting a threshold over and above what the code allows just for that district. And that's what I think would be probably a good alternative. At this point right now, you know, we're 5-6 applications, you know, into this, and it probably will continue because there's vacant land and there's going to be a need for businesses to be located there. Dollar Tree, it was an exception. They probably could have went over, but they actually decided not to. They have one sign, it's on the building. They have no pole sign. They deleted that portion of it, but there's a lot of empty property still that is in that district, and the signage is going to come up again. So we can't set those limits right now, but
no,
it is.
And I've not had a problem in the past in approving additional signage. It's just that I just don't. It just seems like this would really be unfair if there were any other station owners in the audience that would like to address that or have a comment. No comment? So that was my thoughts. I don't know what the other commissioners feel, but it just seems like that might be unfair.
Anything, Cheryl?
I kind of agree with you, Karen, that we probably should, in the future, set some sort of threshold to make it more fair and reasonable for everyone. You have a good point there.
But what would the threshold be if they were already over 100 and we give them another, what is it, what's the?
Total of, look at my notes here.
So what kind of threshold is that? If it's like, you know, 200, that's not really a threshold. I just think that we would be throwing that opportunity away.
I think she's figuring it out worse.
I'm sorry.
Oh, I thought you were getting thrown.
Oh, I was. Just the total of what they were asking for is like 160, you know, with 64 square feet of the identity and then 96 square feet of pole signage. I will say, though, that if you look at your meeting minutes from that 2003, the only thing just to shed a little light on this is that the pole sign at that meeting, the commission gave them approved two options, one being a one-mast and one being a two-mast pole sign. They opted for the two-mast pole sign, and in the approval, the commission gave them the 144 square feet, but then they allowed another, which is double-sided, and at right now, our code would say you get 100 square feet, so that's 200 double-sided. So there, they were going over, you know, I'd say right there. Then they were gave them an additional 10 by 12 area, which is what they have now. They do have that second sign, the 10 by 12 area. And then they gave them another three more 3 by 12 signs, which is another 36 square feet, which they did not opt to use. So that last portion, I'd say that 36 square feet is what they're opting for now. They're saying we want that now. So that's part of what they want into the pole sign, is to go back to that original three-sign mast. So in all reality, I guess they were given that at one time, but they never took it, and then now they're kind of coming back for it, yeah.
Peggy, do you have any comments?
So what it, I guess I'm a, oh, I guess this, because in the staff report we have this one, it says old signage is 140 and 218, which comes out to 358, and the proposed signage is 204.17 and 175.96, which is a little over 381. But well, then if you look over here, the on this thing, this chart, it's a lot different, so I'm not quite sure what numbers I'm looking at.
Actually, you know, the numbers that are on that, these are the correct ones. I actually got this day of putting it together.
Oh, okay.
He had to modify these to make it absolutely correct with the numbers. So what you see sign plan is correct.
Okay.
It includes all the signage. We went through about four reiterations of being able to make sure we captured all of the existing and the proposed. So if you look at that, those numbers are high. That's a lot of signage.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they were already given 800 and some square feet.
Okay.
That was way over than what was probably a way over than what was allowed. However, the minutes of the meeting and or the report doesn't break out how much they went over. I think there was a lot of, from what I can tell in the file, there was some proposals, but not definitive types of signage because they hadn't locked in everything at the time they came before the design review. So there were a lot of, maybe if you do this, then that looks okay, but no particulars, so.
And are they actually adding a business in here? Because there's the talk about, and under A, where we're talking about a 12-foot illuminated CFN sign?
Yes, they're adding that. I'm sorry, maybe I misunderstood your question.
No, is that something they're adding? Because we used to have a separate CFN station. Now, so is CFNs now going to be incorporated into that facility?
They are going to have that third sign.
Okay.
Yes, they are. Yeah, if you look on the sheet A, you will see their third sign.
Yeah, what I'm saying is the business.
Oh.
Because there used to be a CFN gas station in town. So is this now going to be incorporated into the Chevron station? That's an aspect of their business now?
That might be a good question to ask the owner. I don't know that answer.
Okay.
Excuse me, can you come up to the microphone,
here, please?
Please?
Could you come up here? And so we can get you on.
So we can hear you.
Yes, please. Your name and information. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Raj Patel. The question you ask is CFN. Is nothing to do with the existing CFN pumps we have down the road, like mile down. The CFN, Chevron is combined CFN fleet cars, which is all those small business trucks, pickup trucks, they use fleet car. They come in, they have Chevron with CFN fleet car together, so they can use CFN fleet car. As long as existing CFN facilities open, we not gonna touch anything. We want the business in the town.
Sure.
We don't want them go away in Chico or Williams. So we want our business in our town. Okay. That's the main reason.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anything else from commission? Well, I agree with Candace. I hate to let the horse out of the barn and not have, but we've had this discussion many, many times. I'm kind of on the fence with it, so. I want to see them be able to do what they want to do, but you know, I'm afraid to say, yeah, let's give them what they're asking for, and then, you know, we've opened this door, and we can't rein it back in.
Well, there won't be a threshold at that point. We
right.
would not be able to, I mean, we wouldn't be able to do that. And that was one of the things that this commission had talked about. So people wouldn't have to continually come back if they wanted additional signage. They could just go to this, you know, whatever this number is. But this is just such a high number because it started out so high to begin with, is my concern.
So what do we do, ladies?
You know, because that commercial building sets at a junction, it has, you know, it has the need for capturing, you know, signage, because you're at that junction. And, you know, if you look at what is their calculation, the linear footage of the building is 48 linear feet. You take that times 1.5, that means they can get 72 square feet of signage. And as you can see, originally when they came in here, the commission saw that was definitely not going to be enough. And at that time, maybe there were a lot of requests for additional signage. I think at this point, this was something that at the time that the commission took this application in, I think they, you know, wanted to foster a business down there and to be able to provide them with enough signage so that they could. It was a new project down there. It had a lot of new aspects to it, and their feeling was is that this would garner a business, and a profitable business. You know, so it's a double-edged sword in some respects, where you have a brand that comes in, and that brand wants to be on, I think they have 12 pumps there? There's 12 pumps. So there's signage on both sides of the pumps. There's signage on all the pole signs. There's their signage on their flag sign for their prices. There's, you know, as I say, the pole sign is going to asking for additional signage. About 36, which I think is what, 96? 96 of pole signage. If we go back to the original request, they were allowed another 36. So really, they only have like 60 they're asking for there. Mm-hmm. They're asking for 96 now. They were given 36 that they didn't use. So mm-hmm. they're at 60, if you look at it in that respect. As far as the additional other signage that they're looking for, which is identity signage, they weren't over that amount until I started. And I go out there and I saw there's all kinds of little Chevron logos everywhere on all the pumps and all the little places. So those all had to be counted because that's a Chevron logo. And in the very beginning, I think when they went to the commission, they weren't understanding that that's what they were giving, because we're allowing you to put it on all your dispensers and all of your canopies and everything. But because there was no clear defined sign layout, and when they went to the commission, they gave them that much, probably not knowing how much they were giving them. That's how I surmise that file. So, you know, now we're at a point where that 76 has been there all this time, and that signage has all been there all that time. You probably haven't noticed that there was that much signage, but there was 866 square feet of signage out there already. And now they're coming in and asking for a little over 160 square feet additional. So it's, you know, it's that's why I take it to you to the commission here, because
well, I have this feeling that it's something that planning commissions way after us will be dealing with also.
Yeah, it's, you know, signs are a never-ending ball. They bounce all over the place, and businesses want as much signage as they can get, and if you don't have clear set established rules for what you can and cannot do, as I say, our code allows right now for additional signage without any additional verbiage as to where and how much and what the threshold is, then that's what's before you. You know, you can you you'd like to add things into the code. I would feel more comfortable if there was more things in the code which would be able to give you direction, but at this point, you know, a use permit is allowed to get extra signage.
Did you have something else you wanted? Did you want to?
My name is Curtis Houtman with McHale Sign Company from Reading. And one thing I wanted to mention was that, as Karen mentioned, the previous allotment for the pole sign was actually for 2 3x12 cabinets. And what we're asking for is 1 4x12. So we're actually asking for less pole signage than was originally allowed. I just wanted to clarify that one point. The other thing here is that this business is a little bit different in that there's essentially two businesses there, one tenant for a future restaurant, that type of thing. So again, I think if you look at the proposal, what we're asking for is pretty much in line with what other businesses throughout the state have done, especially in highway fronting properties such as this, especially on the south end of town. You know, we're certainly not right in the middle of town. An additional point I wanted to mention was that as Karen mentioned, the logos applied to the pumps and such. In my experience, working with the sign business, those types of signs are not generally counted towards square footage. The reason for that is because they're required by weights and measures regulations. Therefore, we don't really have any control of them over those. We have to have them. And generally, other towns have not included those in square footage. In this case, we have. Which is why the numbers appear so high. I would agree that they appear high, although again, if you compare it to other similar businesses in other towns, I don't think that you'll find the proposals out of line. Basically, the major difference is the addition to the pole sign. Everything else, the price sign is going to be exactly the same square footage as what's there. The canopy is just applying the standard chevron image to the canopy, which some of the increase just comes from the difference between how 76 signs are made and how chevron signs are made. 76 just has a round logo, whereas chevron actually puts their name, you know, on the canopy. Some of that increase comes from just the difference in design of the signs themselves, which is chevron mandated. So
thank you.
So, do we have a motion of some kind?
Could I ask you that, knowing that there is a concern here, is there anywhere that you would think that you could cut back on some of this signage?
Again, most of this is standard chevron, but the pole sign especially is we're just refacing existing signs. The price sign is exactly the same as what is there now. The canopy is just applying the standard chevron image to it. The only difference is the CFN cabinets being added to the pole sign. But again, as the owner mentioned, you know, the desire is to capture that business and keep that tax revenue in Willows, especially southbound traffic leaving Willows. And again, the size of the sign is just primarily for visibility. As you know, there's an on-ramp there. We actually did a study originally back in 2003 for visibility, and that's the reason that we asked for the size that we did, just for visibility. The distance from where the property is located past the on-ramp pretty much dictates the size of it for visibility on southbound traffic. Otherwise, by the time you see it, you've missed the business, you know. So that's really the primary request for the size of the sign itself.
So is that a no?
I would say no.
Thank you. Okay, so obviously we have issues with this, but I don't think that, I mean, that's the city's fault for not having something in place. You know, I mean, as far as what we're dealing with right now. I'm okay with approving this, and then I think, but I think it's something at sometime in the near future we need to address as a planning commission.
Well, that sign code was modified twice already, so.
Well, yeah, I know, but there's always things that need to be changed and looked at, and I think that that's something, I mean, obviously we have some issues with it.
We have a need.
So, pleasure of the commission.
I move to approve use permit 14-02 and design review 14-01 as presented.
Do I have a second? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
No.
Okay. Well, that passed.
Thank you. And just for the record, the applicant will be sent a letter about this decision with the resolution, and also that there's a 10-day appeal period for the use permit. So I will be forwarding you a letter.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, moving on to 7B, design review, applicant owner Russell Morgan, assessor's parcel 005-370-004, 1261 West Wood Street, higher commercial zoning, district highway land use designated, request to change approved color scheme exterior building material. Karen?
Yes, thank you, commissioners. This project came before you last December. And it was a design review and conditional use permit application by Mr. Russell Morgan for the automated car wash building. And at that time, it was a use permit for the use of the non-conforming pole sign and for design review of the color and exterior elements for this new automated car wash. The proposal before you is a request to modify and change the exterior color scheme and the building material for this building. And so an application was submitted to request those changes. I'm going to pass around so the commission can see the renditions that were submitted at the meeting, which was the design that was colored, and it was shown as to what was going to be proposed, which also went along with the color board here. And then Mr. Morgan's has presented this color change. So I'll pass these around so commissioners can see it's too colorful. The basic change that is being requested is to allow the change of the color of the standing seam metal roof from colonial red to dark bronze, and to allow the color, change the color of the building upper wall and water table from one shade of gray to a lighter shade of gray is how I'm going to say it, and delete the building wainscot color and replace it with a lighter color version. And then additionally, to remove the blue color from the vacuum canisters, the letter that was submitted along with the proposal and with your staff report did not indicate that, but I have spoken with Mr. Amaro, who has prepared all of this for the applicant, and he indicated they anticipate going towards more of a stainless steel color. So when this came in, I did question whether or not it should go back to the commission, and I had the city manager and the planning chair review the letter and the color changes, and they felt that this would be something the commission should look at because they had approved a color scheme, so that's what's before you right now. And because the work final conditions of approval, there was one condition, which was number 9, that stated the developer shall adhere to the design specifications of the architectural design review approval, and that approval was for this color scheme on the rendition here. And so as before you is the request to make those changes, and the applicant I know is in the audience if you would like to ask any questions, or if you have any questions of staff.
Commission, have any questions for staff? Okay, so did you want to approach us? So we have to do a public hearing also on this one?
Yes, I actually did notice this.
Okay, So we'll open the public hearing. Do we have anyone that would like to speak? Seeing none, we'll close the public hearing. Commission?
I thought it looked really pretty, but I don't have any problem with him changing his colors.
Can I request a higher your ability?
Oh, I apologize.
I'm going to blur it out.
I said I liked his color scheme before, but I don't have any problem with him changing his color scheme.
Nothing, Peggy?
Nothing.
Shirley?
I have the same comment as
As Candace, I really love your color scheme that you had before. I mean, it's very artistic and just absolutely eye-catching, and I think it would be very attractive in the town, and it would probably garner a lot of, you know, maybe more use because it is so colorful. And I'm just kind of curious as to why you decided, you know, to change it to make it more
Two reasons. Basically, one, that color fades and chalks fairly quickly. Blues, greens, and reds fade and chalk.
Okay.
And basically, the landscaping will make the building stand out more than anything because of the colors in the landscaping.
Okay.
Anything else?
It does fade, but it looked really pretty.
It'll fade. And it'll look really chalky.
That does make sense.
He wants it to look pretty longer.
And I concur. I liked the original design, but I don't have an issue with the proposed. So, what is the pleasure of the commission?
I think you could make a decision by motion as to. I haven't got a report. I can. Do this.
So like consensus motion type thing. Okay, so consensus.
I have no problem with the
color change.
It's unanimous.
All right. Well, then I will send the applicant an approval letter and reflect it in the report. So.
Thank you.
Thank you. We'll keep your projects moving here. Just trust me.
Okay, moving on to 7C, Zoning Text Amendment, Add Density Bonus Ordinance to Municipal Code Section 18.110, General Provisions and Exceptions, City Initiated. Karen, what do you got?
Staff report that. Okay. Well, this is a short staff report on it, but what's driving this request before the commission is the city has, as you probably all are aware, we have applied for a PTA grant to amend and to update our housing element. And as one of the requirements for review under the housing element this year is that the jurisdiction has the availability of getting a expedited review, which would prevent us from having to wait for 90 days to get comments back from HCD. You can get that expedited review if you have five things in place. We have four. The fifth one is the density bonus ordinance. You have to have it adopted. The question is, has the density bonus ordinance been adopted pursuant to Government Code Section 65915? And so what I have done is spoken to a couple of other jurisdictions and was able to garner a density bonus ordinance that speaks to meeting the state guidelines, which in lieu of not having density bonus, you would refer to the state's section anyway. So this density bonus ordinance text amended for you is just that, in order to add to the general provisions of chapter 18.110, we would insert a density bonus section, which has been attached to the staff report for you. It would be section 18.110.114. And as I stated, this ordinance text was sent to our city attorney for his review, and he has determined that it is in compliance and is approving of it. So
At this point, if the commission has any questions, I'll answer you about them. Density bonuses are basically incentives to developers in order to get affordable housing in and allow them to have some parking restrictions, parking density, or any types of those type of incentives removed or waived. That's what the density bonus allows for. So if the commission, you know, looks that this is something we could adopt, then I will take it to the city council for their review and then go on to get a text amendment. I'd like to have this in place so that by the time we do get our project up and running and get it to the state, we can say it's nothing else, it's gone through the first, maybe it's already got the second reading and would be adopted, so.
Questions for Karen?
As I understand it, just because we have the density bonus, we still would have approval of the design review and the plans and all that stuff.
Sure.
We
yeah.
Wouldn't have another.
No. This is in essence, like I say, if they come in and they would say, I would like to have a reduction of 10% in my parking in order to make the full project work on their property. Through, if they did affordable housing to an extent, then they provide some affordable housing, then they can get these incentives. They don't just get it, they have to give something for it as well. So it's a give and take allowance.
Shirley, do you have any questions?
I see here that that the density bonus had to contain at least any one of the following. So there's, this is on page 4 of 5. So they only have to actually choose one of these items?
They could just ask for one thing.
Just
yes.
For one thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Peggy, you have any questions?
Nope.
Okay, and we also need to do a public hearing on this one also.
It's a public hearing because it's a text amendment. Yeah.
So I will open the public hearing. Do we have anyone that wishes to speak?
I'd like to ask a question.
Okay.
Okay.
Yes.
We're making distinctions like that with other government agencies lately. We're not here to ask questions, Mr. Ross. We're here to give an opinion. Oh, sorry. No. My transition to citizen. I had a question. Doug Ross, DougRoss, Willows. I had a question as to when someone has got a project and they're asking for a reduction in parking and they have a certain affordable housing amount that they've provided, assuming that they wouldn't always be asking that to, you know, make it difficult for people to park, would it be related in any way to alternative transportation is my question. The motivation for my question, in my 20 years here in Willows, there's a notable dearth of bicycle fixtures that you can lock up a bicycle. Both my residence is difficult, and I know this is idiosyncratic to me, and I've been accused of being idiosyncratic, but I've noticed it's a global trend locally in Willows that it's very difficult to lock up a bike anywhere, whether you're a resident of an apartment like I am. And even my bicycle outside at City Hall right now is wrapped around with one of those big posts because... So what I... both the question turned into sort of a statement that whatever you do in terms of density bonus, I'd like to use this as to slip back into the Trojan horse of recommending that if that is to occur, that it's recognized that bicycling and the need to have proper fixtures to supplant the reduction in parking would be something I'd be in favor of.
Thank
okay,
you.
Okay, is that good?
Okay.
Yep, that's good.
Great.
Understood.
Okay, so if there's no one else that would like to speak, I will close the public hearing. Commissioners?
I will say, I just wanted to say, I looked up to see around here. Orland doesn't have a density bonus. Biggs doesn't have a density bonus. Chico and Glenn County do, though. So there's
okay.
Hit
thank
misses.
You. Pleasure of the commission.
I'm for it. I don't have any problem with it.
So do we have to do
Resolution.
The resolution, okay, so.
Moving into the planning commission, someone needs to.
Okay, so.
I move to recommend zoning text amendment ZTA 14-01 with resolution next in line of the planning commission of the city of Willows recommending the city council approve a zoning text amendment by adding section 18.110.114 to chapter 18.110 general provisions and exceptions of the Willows municipal code relating to density bonuses.
I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? There you go, Karen.
Thank you. This will be on the next city council agenda, which I think is maybe the 8th.
Okay, moving on to new business. We have the annual HCD housing element progress report for a period from April 1st, 2013 to March 31st, 2014.
Yes, commissioners, this is our annual report that everybody is required to submit to the state by April 1st on how you are meeting your general plan goals and such out of your housing element, basically. And so, as I say, this is our annual one. This year, this actually is starting a new planning period, which is January 1st, 2014 till June 30th, 2019. However, because this report goes until March 31st of 2014, it encompasses everything from April 1st of last year, 2013, till now. So it's kind of a little bit of an overlap. So this will be the last year that we'd be looking at the big numbers. We'll be reporting on the smaller numbers from this point forward. So I'd say the city has done a good job in meeting all of our goals, as we can see that the report that's attached there. You know, we have implemented all the required programs that were a time sensitive, 1 year from certification implementation. And then those programs were HD 1.1.1 through HD 1.4.1. And then also there was programs RC 1.3.2 through RC 1.3.6. And then just recently, in the past couple of years, the city has implemented another program, HD 1.5.1, which was to annually apply for grant funds to include home and CDBG allocation, general allocation funds. Over the past couple of years, the city has applied for both home and CDBG, and which have been granted to the city for new housing units, senior housing. We've also done were afforded and granted the two more studies to do the housing element update and then housing conditions survey. And this report, you know, will include all of that information. And if the commission has any comments or any questions on it, we haven't had any new ones this year. There's been no new additions to any new units here. So you'll see on the report there, it's kind of zeroed out. There's nothing mm-hmm. new. In the report that I normally get, I have from the building department, and I look at to see whether we have any additions. What we haven't. We've had conversions this year, had a couple of conversions, and then we've had some losses of units. So it hasn't been a big year from April 1st of last year till this year, any new housing units, but that'll change because shortly we'll be getting some senior housing. So yeah. By this time next year, we'll have some more numbers to report on.
Yeah.
And if by motion the commission, you know, is fine with this report, then I will take it to the city council for their approval and move forward to HCD and OPR.
So, is everybody okay with
yes,
this?
Yes, I'm okay with it.
The consensus is unanimous.
All right, okay. Good to go, Nathan.
Okay, so moving on to number 9, commission commentary. Anybody have anything to share? I see Dollar Tree's moving right along.
Yeah, that's really going up quickly. That's one of the ones that's it's under construction. I can see that they're moving quite rapidly on the Dollar Tree. O'Reilly's, which is another one. Those plans are under review. They went through two reiterations already, so the plans are under review. There is a condition in their
approval, though, that they have to do a lot merger and vacation of easements. That's what's taking the time right now. They're working with our city engineer and surveyor to get those documents. I believe we just got those approved this week. They'll have to get them notarized, and then I'll be signing that. And they'll be getting the lot merger recorded. However, the vacation of easements, there's four easements there, two are public, two are private. The public ones have to come before the city council to be vacated, so that should be forthcoming here. So plans cannot be issued per that condition until those two things are done. So the plans will probably be ready to be issued prior to getting the vacations done, but they won't be too far behind. So the engineers on O'Reilly's side are moving along
just in time for construction
as quickly as they can, I guess.
Do they have an estimated time as to when they think they're going to?
I'm sure within the next 6 weeks, they're somewhere in there. We should be able to see
some movement.
Well, they should be able to see a plans, you know, being building a permit issued. As I say, I think the plans on both civil and building are getting close to being ready. However, one of the conditions says cannot be issued until the lot merger and vacation of easements has taken place. So that's been a little bit more of a task than I think they anticipated. But it's still moving. It's just a little bit slower than I think they had anticipated. So the senior apartments, Willow Senior Apartments, they're close to issuing a building permit. I think I've got my review left on the plans, and which I'll be doing here in the next couple of days, and somebody else. So we'll be issuing a permit for those probably within, I'd say, the next 2 weeks. Awesome. For those Willow Senior Apartments. So those will be, you'll see a lot of action going when that's when that
really
happens.
Excited about
they're
that.
Like a machine. I've seen that company come in before, and they're like a machine. They come in with everything. And I think they anticipate probably, because the developer or the applicant asked, because of tax credit monies, which they have also garnered for this project, I believe by the end of March they have to have a building permit, you know, issued, and they'll be within that time frame. So,
they're
moving that along.
Awesome.
Yeah, so that's really good. I have a couple some projects. I have a non-conforming conditional use permit for an addition to a house that will probably be coming before you. I think it's the 16th of April, which is the third Wednesday. It's what I'm anticipating the commissioners to have a meeting. I would, and I'm anticipating probably taking this non-conforming use permit to you at that time, and also the multifamily residential design guidelines. Tammy and I have been working on those and incorporating some pictures from Commissioner Benningfield that she has provided, and we'll start there with the pictures and the dialogue of all that. Probably trying to wrap that up here maybe in a couple meetings so that we can then forward those to the commission to the city council to adopt by resolution. So those will be coming before you. As I say, I'm looking at the 16th of April for that meeting to bring this use permit there and the design guidelines. Also, just out there, that's in review and out, is also Willow's Gateway Center tentative map, which is 57 and Tehama Street down that piece of property right at the junction there. Was the old Hampton or Taylor piece that was subdivided several years ago into two parcels. This is an 8.3-acre piece of property, which they are now subdividing into four lots. So that's a project I'm working on right now. And
have they indicated what they are? They just splitting the ground at this point, or do they have something in mind?
They definitely have something in mind. The four uses would be a hotel, a sit-down restaurant, a fast food restaurant,
so
and
still on that same plan.
Oh yes, and a is he calling it an emporium, gas station, which would not only provide fuel, but would provide for electrical charge cars and such. So that's and.
But he doesn't have anybody locked into any specific.
No, I talked to the gentleman today. Did talk with the applicant today, and he's moving forward with on all the things that I'm requiring. He's definitely in contact with Caltrans. Because a traffic study is required. I have a number of things that are required for a resubmittal to other departments and agencies. And so they're updating the bio report, the wetlands delineation, the traffic study. Those are all going to be updated. I'll have to take this through an initial study project. But as part of this project, it's not on the agenda, so I make you aware, but I'll probably bring this to you at this 4/16 agenda as well, is the fact that this car emporium, as this is what they call it, has in this zone, which is highway commercial, it allows for automobile service stations. The definition for automobile service stations was written a long time ago. And I'll just
imagine that.
Yeah. Count electric cars.
But it doesn't. It's really looks at, you know, it's a fuel, and you're going to do a few repairs and that kind of. This station, in my opinion, is beyond that. So I've said this to the applicant that all the other uses I'm fine with, and I'm even fine with the fact that it's a service station. However, it's a grand service station. It's beyond just a service station. So he's going to provide me a full detailed description of what it's going to entail, and I am going to take this to you to roll over in your mind as to if it fits within this determination or if it should be a conditional use permit. If it goes in that vein and it's a conditional use permit, then at the same time we do the tentative map, we'll do the conditional use permit for that project as well, because I want to incorporate all of this into the initial study document. Otherwise, I would have to go back again when he comes before with a conditional use permit, and I'd have to and this would cost the applicant more money as well. So we want to incorporate the whole picture into this initial study. So he's got a number of items still to get to me, and as I told him, I would more likely bring this to you before you at the next meeting. So just kind of heads up on that.
Interesting.
Also, I'm working on a use permit, a design review for the St. Monica's Church. They want to add 6 new classrooms to for the Walden School behind their existing classrooms. And so I'm working with the applicant on that, and I'm getting comments from agencies and departments right now, so I'm not quite sure when that will be scheduled. If there's something in the works right now that we have to look at, if it looks good, it could very well be on the 16th as well. So, not quite sure about that.
And then busy on the 16th.
Yeah, so I got a few things to do. And then lastly, I haven't received an application yet, but I'm sure maybe everybody or Tom's aware of the Chromium 6 with Cal Water situation. The state has some new regulations that are coming down for water agencies, and has to do with the levels of chromium 6, and Cal Water has to add filters to four of their stations throughout the city. So there will be a design review that will come before you for that. The state DPH, Department of Public Health, is taking over the CEQA document, so the city will just accept that CEQA document when they go through their time frame. So I anticipate probably in about a month from now getting this application from Cal Water, and then probably four or five weeks later would come to you. So those are the projects that I'm working on right now.
Anything else?
Where's the Ace Hardware?
That's what I was
going to ask. Put this down, but I didn't, because I didn't get confirmation today, but last week my update was that they are working inside. They have all of their sign approvals. I know that the sign company has already applied for a building permit for some of the signs. And my last understanding was that they were trying to rock and roll to get this thing open, like, now.
I spoke to the manager last night.
Okay.
And they're interviewing people. They've hired a few already.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. So it's just
they're moving along.
Yeah.
So he didn't give me a time frame, though, but he said it would probably be soon.
Yeah, from what I'm hearing is it's going to be happening soon. So I know Clay was working on the building permit application for the sign last week, and they have some old signage that's going to go up, and so they need some engineering and such for some of them. But yeah, that'll be a nice shot in the arm for the downtown.
Yes, definitely.
When that happens.
Any business, we're good. Is, you know, bring it on.
I have a lady who came in today. Actually, I have another two other inquiries. I had a lady who came in the other day, and she is looking to open up a, she wants to open up a little cupcake business, home occupation in her house. So I'm going to probably take a use permit if she follows through with that, a use permit for that for you. That's not just something that is just on the computer, so we have, I want a little more discretion on that. And then secondly, I also talked to a lady today about, all of a sudden I lost it. She's doing, oh, she wants to open up a day spa on Walnut Street. So she's coming in, she came in, got her business license, she's working, I'm working with her on the sign permit. It's going to be located next to the Long Way Home, which is right next to
because there was there. there was a salon there at one time, I think, wasn't
was
there?
It? Well, that was, it was Muddy Paws was there.
And oh, okay. Moved
out. So it's that location. So just kind of an FYI, there's going to be a young lady who's an esthetician, and she works at a place in Chico, but she's wants to open up her own place here, have it open 2 or 3 days a week. So
she's,
yeah, so she's been, she came in today, and I spoke with her, and enthusiastic young lady to bring something into the city. So that'll be, it won't be something that would come before you, but it'll be just a signed application. You'll probably see a signed letter that I'll forward to you when I get her sign information in. So that's
just information. The farmer's market's going to start in May in Willows. It's going to be on the, starts the 24th. It's going to be on, which is a Saturday morning, and it's going to be located in the Daughtry's parking lot there.
Oh, okay, so you don't have to close any streets off. That's
exactly.
Nice.
Exactly.
Awesome.
I was just wondering that today, whether or not the farmer's market was going to start opening, so May 24th. Okay.
Yay.
And
that's not an official announcement. That's just sharing information.
Okay. I don't think I have anything else.
No. Anybody else? Okay, then, meeting adjourned.
Yeah, we're done.